muted my, okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to this session of the Unconvention of the Rabbinical Council of America. And before I introduce Rabbi Kurapkin, I would like to just say a couple of words in with great respect and gratitude to Rav Schachter for all of the very wonderful hadracha and inspiration that he has given us during this time period. The Mishnah says in Avos, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Ketarim Heim. We have three crowns, Keter Torah, Keter Kahuna, Keter Malchut, the Keter Shem Tov, Ola Al Gabehem. In explaining this Mishnah, Rabbi Lam asked a very simple question, that the calculus, he mentions that the calculus is off, because Rabbi Shimon begins with the statement there are three crowns, those of Torah, Kahuna, and Malchut, and then he goes on to mention a fourth, that of the Keter Shem Tov. And so what is it? Either we have three crowns or we have four crowns. And he suggested that, in fact, there really are only three crowns, those of Torah, Kahuna, and Malchut. And the Keter Shem Tov is not an independent crown, that one's name, one's reputation, the respect that one deserves is not independent of Torah, Kahuna, and Malchut, but rather functions...
Send the email.
No email.
When a person exceeds and excels in Torah, excels in Kahuna or excels in Malchut, then the Keter Shem Tov Ola Al Gabehem, that sits on top of them. It's a derivative. The Keter Shem Tov is a derivative of making important contributions to the world, to Torah, to the world of spirituality. And it's only when the Shem Tov is a function of these other crowns that it has any significance whatsoever. Rav Schachter, for us, for those of us who have known him from our days in yeshiva, those of us who have consulted with him over the years in our Rabbanus, and certainly in the past couple of months as we faced very difficult and challenging times, appreciated the Keter Torah that Rav Schachter wears, his bikiyus in kola Torah kula, his ability to paskin shilas that are challenging and that are difficult, and the call for innovative thought and sometimes broad shoulders. He's a person who wears the Keter Torah. It's a person who bears that Keter Kahuna. Yisiftei Kohen Yishmeru Dat V'Torah Yavakshu Mipihu. A person who serves all of Klal Yisrael with the Torah that he espouses and the support that he gives. And all of this is done with a Keter Malchut, with dignity, with grace, and with kindness. And so it's no wonder that he bears that Keter Shem Tov, and it's that service that he provides for us, the inspiration and support that he gives to us, and the Keter Shem Tov that he bears, to which we pay tribute to him and offer our thanks to him this afternoon. I'd like to now call upon Rabbi Daniel Kurapkin, who is president of the RCA.
Thank you, Rabbi Dratch, and if we could ask Reb Schachter's indulgence for just a moment more before he begins this year, because part of the purpose of the session today is not only to hear Rebbe's Torah, but also to allow us to contemplate and express words of Hakara Satov to all that Rebbe has meant to us, especially over these last couple of weeks. But first, I'd like to acknowledge Rabbi Mark Dratch, the Executive Vice President of the RCA, and the really incredible role that you have played, Rev Mark, in being able to guide us through your regular communication and through your contact with our poskim, with Rav Schachter and Rav Willig, to be able to bring this halacha guidance, not only to the Rabbanim, but really to all of North American Jewry. And we are forever in your debt for that. A big yishar koach to you. Moirai v'raboisai, we are living in a time for Rabbanim, which, unless you're well over 100 years old, I know we have some pretty senior RCA members, but I don't think anyone is that old, you've never had to face this ever in your professional career. None of us could have imagined that we would have to close our shuls, that we would not be able to officiate at weddings, at funerals, without a crowd of people in a chapel or a social hall, or that we would be keeping our cell phones on over Yontif and Shabbos to be available to severely depressed balabatim. But these are all new phenomena that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to present to our world during our watch, when we are all tasked to shepherd our respective kehilas with wisdom and halacha guidance. We, in turn, have needed to turn to our Rebbeim for guidance. at a time when so many rabbinic leaders and organizations were slow to come to play a leadership role because of the unprecedented disruptions, the disorienting social disruptions to religious life, it was Rav Herschel Schachter, our Rebbe and Rosh Yeshiva, who was able to step up immediately when called upon to guide us, the Talmidim of Yeshiva and of the members of the RCA, to paskin our shilas and provide us with guidelines and proper hadracha in leading our communities. So how is it that Rav Schachter was able to do this in a way that seemed effortless and seamless in making this transition to the new world reality? I was thinking about this, and what I now offer is not meant for Rav Schachter to hear. And the reason why is because he doesn't need to hear what I have about to say, because he lives these words every moment of his life. And I know that anything that we say about him, he's not even gores. But they are meant for us, his Talmidim, so that we can learn from our Rebbe and know to what we can and must aspire. As a student of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Schachter undoubtedly internalized so much of what the Rav wrote in his philosophical work, Halachic Man. I just want to quote for you two small passages from that work. In one place, the Rav wrote, when Halachic Man approaches reality, he comes with his Torah, given to him from Sinai, in hand. He orients himself to the world by means of fixed statutes and firm principles. An entire corpus of precepts and laws guides him along the path leading to existence. Halachic man, well furnished with rules, judgments, and fundamental principles, draws near the world with an a priori relation. When halachic man comes across a spring bubbling quietly, he already possesses a fixed a priori relationship with this real phenomenon. The complex of laws regarding the halachic construct of a spring. The spring is fit for the immersion of a zav. It may serve as mechatas. It purifies with flowing water. It does not require a fixed quantity of 40 sa'as, etc. When halachic man approaches a real spring, he gazes at it and carefully examines its nature. He possesses a priori ideal principles and precepts which establish the character of the spring as a halachic construct, and he uses the statutes for the purpose of determining normative law. Does the real spring correspond to the requirements of the ideal halacha or not? And just as the Rav wrote, Rav Schachter came to this pandemic with his Torah firmly in hand, without any other preconceived priorities other than how does the Torah and the halacha inform this new metzius, this new reality within our world? What is required of us, anshei ha-halacha, in reacting to these new realities? No sentimentality, no superstition, just the Shulchan Aruch and Poskim. And later, Rav Soloveitchik writes, in Halachic Man, the teachings of the Torah do not oppose the laws of life and reality. For were they to clash with this world and were they to negate the value of concrete physiological, biological existence, then they would contain not mercy, loving kindness, and peace, but vengeance and wrath. Even if there is only a doubtful possibility that a person's life is in danger, one renders a lenient decision. And as long as one is able to discover some possible danger to life, one may use that doubt to render a lenient decision. The Rav then quotes his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, who felt that leniencies for a choila on Yom Kippur were not a kula in dine tainis, but rather a chumra in dine pikuach nefashos. As the Rav stated, temporal life becomes transformed into eternal life. It becomes sanctified and elevated with eternal holiness. And that's where Rav Schachter got his teaching, and that is what he brought with him to the table of our Beis Medrash. It is Rav Schachter's avas habrios and his great sensitivity to even one nefesh in Klal Yisrael that allowed him to shoulder with that very illusory, what seems to be with great ease, decisions which are omdim berumo shel olam, issues that will have far-reaching repercussions and ramifications for Klal Yisrael for years to come. But that is a true Gadol B'Yisrael. We are grateful to Rebbe for all of the hours and hours of dedication, for all of the hours of sleeplessness that Rebbe instead used to research and answer shilas. This effort, Rebbe, has borne significant and sweet fruit for an entire generation of Rabbanim and Talmidei Chachamim who continue to thirstily drink from Rav Schachter's wellsprings. Thank you, Rebbe, for all of your guidance to date and all of your continued guidance. Our collective bracha to you and the Rebbetzin is that you continue to live lives of good health and nachas. We now look forward to another shiur from you. Rav Shachter will now be speaking on how to paskin shailas, the role of the Mora d'Asra, considerations of Sha'as HaDechak. It is with great honor that we present our Rav Herschel Shachter.
Thank you very much. Shalom Aleichem, everybody. We have the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. Torah tells us, Ki polem imcha dovel ha-mishpat. If you have a sofik, you don't know what the din is. Ben dam ledam, ben din ledim, ben nega lenega. Dibei ribas bisharecha. If there'll be machlekes, it's ripping apart the community. Normally, if you have different communities, different cities, different rabbis pask in different ways, that's okay. But even if you have two bate medrash in the same community also, shnei bate medrash birachas, it's not going to rip apart the community. The chassidim will do the way they want. The mestagnim will do what they want. The people from this yeshiva will do the way that they follow their rebbe, and the people from the other yeshiva follow their rebbe. But if you have, it's a divrei rivas, it's ripping apart the community, then the Torah says you have to bring the issue to the Bez Nagolim. Most of the shailas that came up, Bizman HaMikdash, they did not bring up to the Bez Nagolim. What did the Bez Nagolim do all day long? They didn't deal with shailas. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, the Bez Nagolim Shibirushalayim is the international kollel of Klal Yisrael. They didn't really adjudicate cases on rare occasions. Erani Dachas, you have to bring how many Erani Dachas were there in the history of the world. One time it says there never was and there never will be. Ein Donim Misam Melech, Ein Donim Kain Godol. How often were they done the Melech and the Kain Godol? Very rarely. The Halacha says, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, but the Dinim are not permitted to meet on Shabbos and Yom Tov Gzeira Shem Yichtov. They may write down the details of the case, or they may write down the svaras that they have. Why they, when they want to debate the issue together. But the Bez Nagodol met the event on Shabbos Yontel, because Bez Nagodol's main function was really, it was the international kollel. Klali saw they had the big Gdoli Hador. The Gdoli Hador were appointed to be members of the Bez Nagodol. So this this was rarely followed, that you present the Shaila to the Bez Nagodol. So the Sefer HaChinuch says on that mitzvah, that's Kipol Mechadabah, come to Be'elisa. Many Rishonim say this is a mitzvah, that whenever you have a shaila, you should present the shaila to Talmid HaChachamim. The person can't judge on his own. In Yiddish folklore, they tell the story about the farmer who always used to come to the Rav in town whenever he had a shaila in Kashrus. And then for perhaps 2 months or so, he didn't show up. And then after 2-3 months, he came back to the rabbi. So the rabbi asked him, I haven't seen you the last couple months. What happened? He said, it's too bothersome to come into town always to ask a shaila. He decided he'll follow what it says in the Torah. It says in the Torah, if you have an avela, lakelav tashlichon also. So he understood, if you give it to the dog, if the dog eats it, it's a simon that it's treif. If the dog doesn't eat it, it's a simon that it's kosher. So the rabbi said, no, so why'd you come back to me? So he said, the dog is too machmer. Dog keeps on eating everything, it passes everything is treif. The rabbi was a bigger mekel. That's in Yiddish folklore, they say that story. So the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah. If a person does know what the din is, he should ask a shaila of a Talmud Chacham. We have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hasei l'cha rav, you should always pick a rav to paskan al shailas for his talek, ben asafek, val tarba la'aser umodos. You shouldn't be mafresh maises by guessing how much you have. You should measure it precisely and be mafresh exactly maiser. So there's a sefer Ruach Chaim. These are the drushes of Rav Chaim Valojina and Pirkei Avos. It was put out by one of the descendants of Rav Chaim Valojina. It has a lot that appears also in the Nefesh HaChaim. They complement each other. So he has a comment on Mishnah, a very beautiful comment. The Mishnah tells us, Asei l'cha rav, you have to present all the shadas. What do you have to present all the shadas for? If it's a sofik deraisa, well, go l'chumr, sofik derabanam, go l'kula. So the Mishnah says, that he's stalek men asofik. You shouldn't live like that with sfeikas. Why not? I'll always go l'chumr whenever I'm not sure. So the answer is, al tarba la'asu ramadah. So the Gemara says, Gemara tells us, if a person is guessing how much tvua he has, and is going to be marba ben maestris, he's going to give more than one-tenth. So the Gemara says, maiser v'tevel moravim zebezeh. Maiser is only chal if you mafish exactly 10%. If you mafish more than 10%, so whatever is extra is not chal. It'll remain tevel. So when you give it to the Levi, you give the maiserishin to the Levi, It'll be Maisa Rishon and Tevel Moravim Zebizes. So you think that you were Machmer, it was really Chumra Dasi Lidei Kula. So that's how he interprets the Mishnah. A person shouldn't decide that he's not going to go ask a Shaila whenever there'll be a Safik Gola Chumra. So the Mishnah says you shouldn't do that, because a lot of times it'll be a Chumra Dasi Lidei Kula. Truth of the matter is, it's always going to be a Chumra Dasi Lidei Kula. Let's say before Sukkot, a lot of people will spend $150 or $200 to get an Esrog Mehudar. If I can get a kosher Esrog for $50, I'll buy the kosher Esrog. I don't spend $150. I have another $100 to give the tzedakah, and I'll give the money to the tzedakah. It's always like that. It's always going to be a chumrah. Every chumrah is going to come lidei kula. Let's say, shaylev shaving achal amoid. So a person wants to do such a big machlekes in Europe. So a person will be machmer. So Rav Soloveitchik said, what are you being machmer? You're being mekel and kvod regal. If the din is that it's mutter to shave on chal amoyed, so you're mechuyif to shave. It says, amavazah samayadois. In lechel gel amabog, Rashi says it goes on chal amoyed. You have to dress properly on chal amoyed. You have to shave. You have to be neat. So it's not considered a chumet. It's a chumet dosi lidei kula. It's not a smart idea to just to assume that Safik Deraisa, Luchumer Safik Derabana Lakula. First of all, you have to know what's Deraisa, what's Derabana. You may think that something is Derabana, and you'll be surprised to find out that it's Deraisa, and it's really Safik Deraisa, Luchumer. And then furthermore, it says in Yeridea, we all learned that, if you have a Safik Shishim, so sometimes if the whole need for Shishim is only with Derabana, by Mimina, we paskan the need for Shishim is only with Derabana, so Safik Shishim will go Lakula. What's called Safik Shishim? So if you can't figure out whether you have everything in front of you and you can't calculate, you don't know arithmetic, you can't figure it out. So it says in the Yerodeh that a Safik Chisar Nidia is not called a Safik, that you would have to write to be Mekel based on that. So this is a Safik Chisar Nidia. You can't just say, Safik Darabana Lekula, the whole din is only Darabana, Safik Darabana Lekula, so it will be Mekel. That's not right. So you have to ask the Shilas, when a person has a Safik, you have to ask the Shilas. If a person is knowledgeable, a person is a chacham shehigia lahiroa, he's entitled to express an opinion, so then he doesn't have to present the shaila to someone else. He has a right to paskan on his own. This is a very difficult decision that a learned person has to make. I remember once Rameir Schlesinger, who used to be the founding Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim, once spoke in the yeshiva by us, and he was talking about this. This is a very difficult decision that a Talmud Chacham has to make. Is he really Higia lo Hayroa? We have Svarim from the days of the Bali HaTosfos. We have Tshuvas written by people who lived in the days of the Bali HaTosfos, who thought that they were God's gift to the world, and they're utterly ridiculous. They wrote Dvarim B'Talim, unbelievable things. In our generation, you look in Svarim. I remember someone once gave me a gift, a whole set of Shabbos Tshuvas by one of the Rabbanim who was still alive. So in the summertime, I used to learn with different boys who would be in Tannersville. So one of the fathers always felt a debt of gratitude why I learned with all of his sons every summer. I learned with another son. So he used to buy me tshuvas of Galitiana Achreinim. He was from Galicia, the father. So I remember once on a Thursday, he came up for the weekend and he brought me this gift. So I was sitting on Thursday night after I finished learning with the boys around 10:45 at night. I was sitting, my wife was knitting in one corner of the room, and I was smiling. So she said, what's so funny? So I said, I'm reading this Tshuva Sefer, and the person thinks that he knows how to pass Mashal. Utterly ridiculous. You have people, but it's not something unique to our generation. Every generation, the days of the Bala Tesis, you have people who thought they were Higia lo Hayroa. They didn't begin to know the ABC of Halacha. So it's a very difficult decision that a person has to make. Rav Soloveitchik has a famous drasha that he said over quite a few times. He said the drasha, he delivered the drasha in Eretz Yisrael when he was a candidate for the Rabbanus in Tel Aviv on Parshas Korach, that what did Korach have against trelas? He held that a beggar should call a trelas. He still have to put in trelas in its tzitzis. So the din is you have to put, and Korach wants to do away with trelas. Why? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Lavan represents the things in life that we understand, the things in Halacha that we understand. A lot of times, the Rambam writes a psak, and the Ravid will be masik. Says, lo mechuvar, it's not white. Things that are white means that it's very clear. It says in the Chumash, forsa hasimla le'eni haskenim, in the Parsha of Moitzi Shemra, so Rashi quotes from the Gemara, dvarim mechuvarim kisimla. It doesn't mean forsa hasimla. He brings Edom Hu Amazim, the Edi Habal. The Baal brought Edi Sheker, that Ishta Zinsa during Erisin, and the father brings Edim who are Mazim de Rebbe. So first Hasimla means Dvarim Uchuvarim Kisimla, because in the days of Tanakh, most of the dresses didn't have any colors. Today, all the dresses have colors. But years ago, it wasn't so easy to make a dress with color, so a normal dress was white. So that's the white, the Lavan represents the things in Torah that are clear, and the things in life that are clear. And Tchelis is Daima Lekisi HaKavod, the things that we cannot fathom at all, the things that we don't know at all. So Korach felt he don't need any Tchelis. Everybody was there in Naiman HaSinai. Every individual can paskan on his own. We know just as well as Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have to ask to Shabbat to somebody bigger than us. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, the Ribbono Shel wants everyone has to realize that there's always trailers. There are things that you don't know. You have to present to a bigger Talmud Chacham. And the Rav said, and even if a person's Rebbe passed away, Rebbe has to think in his mind, what would my Rebbe have paskan on this issue? If a person is a Chacham Shigir Lohairoah, he's permitted to disagree with his Rebbe. He's permitted to disagree with the Rebbe Behuda and the Chassam Sofer and the Shach and the Bir Agro also. Rav Moshe Feinstein was in a practice. When he would write a tshuva, he wouldn't look at Achrayim. He would decide what he thinks the din is. Then he would show the tshuvas to the Mashgiach and the Yeshiva, Rav Michal Birnbaum. So Rav Michal would sometimes tell him, the Rebbe Behuda says not so, the Chassam Sofer says not so. Rav Moshe would look at the Nadi Behuda, and then he would decide that what he wrote was more correct. He would add another paragraph at the end, and what it says in the Nadi Behuda, I don't accept it, I don't think it's correct. So there was Talmid Chacham, an Ungarish Rav who lived in the New York area, who was talking a big Talmid Chacham, who put out a whole book attacking all of Rav Moshe's truths. It's called Mana Leigoris, the Igoris Moshe is Rav Moshe, so he wrote the response to the Igoris Moshe. So he attacks Rav Moshe. What an arrogant person Rav Moshe was, that he takes it upon himself to disagree with the Chassam Sofer and the Nadi Behuda, to disagree with the Vilna Gaon and the Shach every so often. How can it be so arrogant? So those who remember, I remember Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was unusually, extremely humble in a ridiculous fashion. He was an extremely humble individual. Rav Moshe was very hurt when that Sofer came out, the Mana Leigoris. So he said, I don't know if I'm entitled to an opinion at all. I'm not so convinced that I'm a Chacham Shehigiyah Lo Hiro at all. But people keep on pressuring me. They want to know my opinion. So that's the din. If the people insist that they want to hear my opinion, so I have to give them my honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who are greater than me from earlier generations. The halacha in the Mishnah is that says, Ein bezen yochal levatal divrei bezen chaverei. Elam ken godel hemena b'chochma v'minyan. So the Rambam and all the other Rishon Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, writes in the Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, they all quote the Yerushalmi on the first daf in Shviyas. The Yerushalmi asked the question, how can Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dinoi disagree with Beis Shammai Bisila? Did he think about Tosefes Shviyas, when you have to start? Before Shnas HaShmita begins, you already have to start observing some of the dinim of Shmita. So Rabbi Gamliel abolished the whole institution of Tosefes Shviyas. So the Yerushalmi asked the question, did he think that he was greater than the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel? They both hold that there's a din of Tosefes Shviyas. They just argue on the details. How can Rabbi Gamliel do away with the whole institution of Tosefes Shviyas? So the Yerushalmi answers, no. B'shosh she'asru la'mikra samcha, b'shosh she'hitira la'mincha samcha. When you, that din, ein bezn yoch lavata diri bezn chavea, only applies when a bezdin in an earlier generation enacted a rabbinic takona, a gzera takona something. So the later bezdin wants to repeal the rabbinic enactment. But if you have a machlekes, what pshat in the chumash is? What should the halacha be? Ein luchal shefet should be a mech. Vosal shefet shechia b'yam ha'maim. That's the din of yiftach b'dor kishmol b'dor. There is no limitation of ein bezdin yochel levatal devi bezdin chaver. So that's where Moshe said. He doesn't think at all that he's greater than the Chassam Sofer and the Rebbe Yehuda and so on. But his opinion, he thinks that they made a mistake over here, and the Dayan has to pass on what he thinks is correct. There's a volume of Shadas Tshuvas that calls Chutam Shulosh. It has the Tshuvas of the first third, has the Tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and then it has the Tshuvas of two sons-in-law of his. One is Ablezer Yitzchak, Ablezer Itche, they used to call him, and one is Rav Hillel. So they were all, the Rav Lezer Yitzchak and Rav Hillel were also Rashi Yeshiva in Volozhiner Yeshiva. So most people only read the first part, the tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and those are the famous ones. So one of the tshuvas he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, they quote this line in the history books, that the Vilna Gaon gave instructions to Rav Chaim Volozhin, when you're convinced what the din is, and you look through the Gemara, you work through the Rishonim, you're convinced what the din is, and then you see that Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, not so. He said, you're not allowed to Paskin like Rabbi Yosef Karo, because they have a Paskin of Chumash, L'sisa p'nei dol, l'sada p'nei godol, l'tzarek tish p'tam yisecha. You have to give an honest psak. That Paskin happens to be talking about a din Torah and Dini Mamanis. So let's say there's a din Torah between a poor man and a wealthy person. The whole din Torah is about $10. So Paskin, give him $10 already. What's the whole din Torah? If I know the wealthy man is right, I'm not allowed to Paskin, you owe him $10 because of Hilchas Tzedakah. They didn't come to ask a shayla of Tzedakah. If the din Torah is about a halvor, about Tzchiras Poelim or something, and the wealthy man is right, I have to Paskin in favor of the wealthy man. I can tell him later on, I think mitam Tzedakah, you should be mevat there, the $10 that he owes you, and you should give him $10. You should give him some Tzedakah. But you're not allowed to falsify the psak. So that's the first step of the pasuk. Then l'sedah p'nei gadol, so the Vilna Gaon said that's what it means. And the pasuk, it probably means, if there's a din Torah between a rabbi and a balabas, how can you paskin against the rabbi? It'll be a busha for the rabbi. So you have to paskin in favor of the rabbi, and then tell the rabbi privately, you did wrong, and really the balabas, I say, you're not allowed to issue such a psak. If the balabas is right, you have to paskin like the balabas. I remember there was once a din Torah in the yeshiva. Years ago, we used to have dinei Torah. Balabatim would come in on a Sunday, and we would put together the first three rebbes that they would bump into. We would make a bezdin. So remember, we had a din Torah between the rabbi, who is the menahel of the yeshiva, and the board, the balabatim and yeshiva. So we came to the conclusion that the rabbi was wrong and the board was right. So years later, I met up with one of the balabatim. He said they couldn't believe it, that the bezdin paskin against the rabbi. They thought for sure the rabbis and the bezdin were paskin like the rabbi. No, you have to paskin what the din is. So the pashup shat and the pasuk leisisa leiseda penei gadol, if one of the two baladinim is Adam Nichbad, he's the president of the shul, or he's the rabbi or something, so you shouldn't paskin in his favor just because he's an Adam Mechubin. But the Vilna Gaon added on more than that. If you're convinced what the din is, and you paskin not like your conviction, because Rabbi Yosef Kara paskin like that in Shulchan Aruch, that's a violation of Leisisa Pnei Godel. You're not allowed to paskin like that. No, that's the Vilna Gaon. A lot of times he knew so much, he was convinced 100% that this is the din, and he can say that the Mechaber is wrong. Most people today are not so learned, they're not so convinced that the Mechaber was wrong. We wouldn't apply that today. But in principle, a Talmid Chacham has to give his honest-to-goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who are greater than him, even if it's going to look a little strange. The Talmid Chacham, who paskins the Shaila, has a special namonis because he's one of the Chachmei HaMasorah. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it's not based on, I don't know the din. So I come to the rabbi, I ask him, what's the din? So he's namad because Eidecha namad be Yisurim. And what if it's a Shaila of Dovah Shebi'erva? A Shaila of Eishesi Shezinsa, that you need two Eidim. Eidecha does not believe in a Dovah Shebi'erva. Or let's say a Shaila of Dinim Amenis. We went to one Chacham, a Shaila of Dinim Amenis, you have to have two Eidim. So you not only should you need two Eidim to testify what the facts are, why don't you need two Eidim? Why do you need two Talmid Chachamim to tell me what it says in the Gemara? I don't know what it says in the Gemara. I'm asking the rabbi. So that's why you need three Dayanim and a Din Torah, because you need two Eidim to testify. So then she said, no, even if it's a Dinim Amenis issue, and even if it's a Dovish of the Erva issue, and you should really have required two Eidim, this is not a Nemonis of Eidim. This is a separate Nemonis. Chachmei HaMasara have Nemonis to say what the Halacha is. Special Nemonis of Chachmei HaMasara. So again, most people are not in the category of Chacham Shehigia Lo Heroah. Once in a while, you have unusual, a person is a Chacham Shehigia Lo Heroah, he's entitled to give a psak. The Parsha tells us that if the issue was brought up to the Bez Nagodol, no one's allowed to paskin against them. There's an essay and a lois essay. L'sasim is the lois essay, and there's an essay. L'sisa, kol ha sheyor eskama kohanim. L'sasa yomin esmol. Yeah, what does it mean, yomin esmol? So one of the Mepharshim says, yomin, to go to the right, means to be machmer. A link, a guy that goes to the left means to be makel. So you shouldn't say, I, the Bez Nagadol, was too makel. I want to go to the right. I want to be machma more than them. I think the Bez Nagadol was too machma. I want to go to the left a little bit. So that's what the Torah warns us. L'sasa yom in a small. You're not allowed to digress. You're not allowed to go against the psak of the Bez Nagadol, whether l'kula or l'chumra. Why is the psak of the Bez Nagadol binding? So the pashtus is the following, I think. I think the pashtus is from the Gemara, so it would appear the following. Whom did they appoint to the Bez Nagadol? The biggest Talmid HaChachamim in the generation. So the Tosfos in Brachas has a chiddush that's quoted l'halocha in Shulchan Aruch, that the Gedolei Hador in every generation, even if I never learned by them, I never saw them before, the Gedolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvak of all of the people who live in that generation. Tosfos comments on the famous Gemara that Chana had a baby after so many years of not having any children, and she took a neder, she's going to bring the baby to Eli HaKoyen, to Mishkan Shiloh. So she brought him at the age of two. So the Gemara explains the whole story, that he saw that they were makbid to have Kohanim do the Shechita on the Kochim, and the din is a Shechita Ksheir Bizar. So he said it's not necessary to have the Kohen, they don't have to wear big dekuna then, they're doing wrong. So Eli said, the little kid, the two-year-old kid, is a smart kid, he's right, but he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim, because mayra halacha bifnei rabbi. So Tosfos said, then she says, please, don't cause him to die. Chana pleads with Eli HaKadosh, anara za his palolti, this is the baby I was praying for so many years. So he tells her, let this baby die, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you another baby. So she says, no, this is the baby I was praying for, don't let him die. So he survived. So Tosfos is bothered on that Gemara. How do you consider Eli? Why is it Meir HaLacha Bifnei Rabbi? The little kid, two-year-old kid, never met Eli before. The first time he ever met him. How was he all of a sudden Meir HaLacha Bifnei Rabbi? That's not his Rebbe. So Tosfos says that Eli apparently was one of the Gedolei Hador. And the Gedolei Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvak of all of the people in that generation. So with that Tosfos, you can understand why the authority of the Bez Nagadol is binding on all the people in the generation. The Ikar Din really seems to be that if a person is not entitled to his own opinion, if one is a Chacham Shehigir Lo Hayra, he's entitled to express his own opinion. Most people are not Higir Lo Hayra, so then whose Psak is binding? You go on Google, you find all the different opinions. So you find all the different Shitas. Whose opinion is binding? So the Din is the Psak of Rabbi Muvak is binding. The Gemara Chazanish has this in the Sefer on Yerideya, and it goes in the order of the Yerideya. So in Yerideya, around Simen Resh Mem, is about Hayroa Sisa Behet, about Paskening Shilas. So he has a whole essay about this. He quotes the Gemara. It's a Gemara in the end of Kol HaBosor, and it's Gemara, the first Daf in Perek, Rab Lezer de Mila, Daf Kuf Lamed Omer Aleph. So the Gemara says, B'mekom Moshe Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Rabbi Yosi Aglili held that chicken and milk is not only mutam and atar, it's even mutam and the Rabbanon. So in his city, even years after he passed away, they used to eat chicken cooked in milk. He didn't hold from the din the Rabban. And Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkinus, Perek Rabbi Lezer de Mila, is of the opinion that not only Mila bizman is Decha Shabbos for the Mila, even for the Hechsha Mila, for the Hachonis, for the Bris in advance, also Decha Shabbos, everything. And we don't pass on like Rabbi Lezer, we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. That Machshire Mila, She'ef Shalasas Mibod Yom, if you could have prepared the knife, if you could have sharpened the knife on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, and you have to postpone the Bris till Sunday. And even if, let's say, the Moel didn't bring the knife, and the old prohibition of carrying the knife, there's only a Carmelist there. The old prohibition of carrying the knife is only by the Rabbanon, also not. Even though Bris Mila is such a mitzvah chamura, that if the child never gets a Bris, if the father doesn't do the Bris on Shmini, there's no Kores. If the father doesn't do the Bris, there's no Kores on the father. If the baby will grow up and never do Bris Mila, then he'll be Chayv Kores. So the Gemara says, Amida Devreim Amakam Kores, even though Mila is such a chamadika mitzvah, and you should do the Mila Bismano, and it's only a din de rabbanon not to carry the knife in the Carmelis. Gemara says, you're not allowed to carry the knife in the Carmelis, you'll postpone the Bris till Sunday. So Rabbi Lezer was of the opinion that not only the actual Bris Mila is the Chashabbos, even Machshire Mila, to carry the knife and to manufacture the knife, the Mekomosh of Rabbi Lezer, the Gemara says, they would break off wood from the branches and make a fire and melt the metal and manufacture a knife on Shabbos when it would be a Mila Bismana. And then the Gemara says, even though he was outvoted, Rabbi Lezer was outvoted, Rabbi Yosi Aglili was outvoted also, and then Besar Reif Bechola, but in his city, they considered him Bar Das even years after he passed away, and they followed his minority opinions. They followed his shitas. So you see from that Gemara that if someone has a Rabbi Muvok, you see from the Gemara number one, Bar Das has the status of Rabbi Muvok, and if I have a Rabbi Muvok, I have the right to follow his shitas, even though I know that the majority is against them. Machlekes, there's many machlekes b'shamay and b'silo. So the Gemara says that we pass like b'silo for two reasons. One reason, because they were in the majority, and number two, that they were more humble on the son of him. Doesn't mean that b'shamay were arrogant, means b'silo were more humble, and the one who's more humble stands a better chance of coming to the right answer. An arrogant person will think that he's so brilliant, the first thing that occurs to him on the top of his head is correct, and he'll defend his position even if others will show him that he made a mistake. And a humble person will give in if he sees that he made a mistake. He'll give in, and he'll give a correct psak. So the Gemara said these are the two reasons why we paskin like the Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, so did after the din is like Beis Hillel, that because they're the rabbim, so did Beis Shammai follow Beis Hillel? In the end of the first parak in Yevamah, so the Gemara has a whole discussion whether also b'shami kidivrem, aloy also b'shami kidivrem. Did they still follow their opinion? They knew that they were outvoted; they were in the minority. So the Gemara says yes. The Gemara brings many also b'shami kidivrem. They followed their rabbeim, and even though they knew their rabbeim were in the minority, the b'shami were working with midrash Torah and Drash Hispem. It's not that they were reform rabbis, conservative rabbis. They're throwing out the whole Torah Shabbat. They had a different perspective. And they had the right to follow their rabbim. The din that you follow the rabbim, that's for one who's neither a Talmud of the Beis Hillel nor a Talmud of Beis Shammai. You can't really say, that's my Rebbe Muvok. So then you say you have to follow the Rav. But or if a person has 100 Rabbanim of Hakim, and they have a Machlokes, so he has to go above the Rav. You follow the Rav of your Rabbanim of Hakim. But if a person is neither a Talmud of Beis Shammai nor a Talmud of Beis Hillel, so then you go Beis Hillel, but one who is a Talmud of Beis Shammai, he follows his Rebbe's opinion. That was always the klal. The Gemara says that that's what the Chazon Ish says. Let's say a person starts reading the Yamshel Shloimei, and he's taken, he's captured, he starts reading Biur Hagro. And he falls in love with the Gro, he falls in love with the Mashal. We have Pesukim from the Mashal and the Gro and Kol HaTorah Kula. I never met the Vilna Gaon, I never met the Mashal, but I'm very taken by them, and I want to latch on to them. I want to look up to them as Rebbe Muvok. So that's legitimate. If he just found a Ksav Yad, one din from a Rishon from centuries ago, so you can't say, oh, that's Givaldik, I fall in love with him, he's my Rebbe Muvok. If you don't have his Hairoz and Kol HaTorah Kula, so you can't look up to him as Rabbi Muvok, but from the Marshal or the Vilna Gaon, we have Hairos on Kol HaTorah Kula. So even though you never met him, you never learned by him, if you are taken by him, you can consider him Rabbi Muvok. That's what the Gemara says years after Rabbi Yitzchak Lili passed away, and years after Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkan has passed away, in his community, they still followed all of his Pesukim L'Hokel U'L'Achmer, everything, because they looked up to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yitzchak Lili as Rabbi Muvok. That's exactly why the Pesukim of the Bez Nagol are binding on everyone, because the members of the Bez Nagol are the Gdoli Hador of the generation. The Gdoli Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvok, of all of the people who live in that generation. A lot of times it's difficult to figure out, let's say, Ashkenazim have one style of Pesach and Sfaradim have another style of Pesach. So each group follows the roiv of their Rabbanim of Hakim. So we all share in common a lot. Let's say Rashi, Rabbi Natam, the Ri, Hazokin, the Rashbo, the Ramban, the Rambam, a whole list of Rishonim. But then when it comes to Achronim, so the Sfaradim have their list of Gedolim and the Ashkenazim have their list. We have no Shaychus with the Sfaradish Ashkenazim, have very little Shaychus, but the Sfaradish Gedolim and the Sfaradim have very little Shaychus, but the Ashkenazi Gedolim usually. So it comes out that each group has, let's say, 500 Rabbanim of Hakim. We look up to Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramoa. We look up to Rabbi Yosef Karo, but the Ramoa and the Shach and the Taz and the Chayodim and the Kitzu Shulchan Aruch. We have so many, and Mishnah Brura and the Kafachayim. You put it all together, so by the Ashkenazim, the Rav of Rabbanim of Hakim will be in one direction, tilted to toward Ashkenazi Psak, and by the Svardim, the Rav, they're following the Rav of their Paskim, the Rav will be Svardi Psak. That's why there are two different forms of Psak. Sometimes it's not so easy to figure out which is what is the consensus, what is the Rav, because we just know from Svarim. You look in the Svarim, so not all the Gedolim wrote Svarim. So a lot of times you can't figure out. Chacham Avadya usually counts up, he determines which is the Rav based on the Svarim that he quotes. But he has a selective memory. Most of the time, he quotes Svardish as Svarim. He'll quote a few Ashkenazi Svarim also, but always rig it in such a way that it'll come out that the Rav of the Gedolim, that the Rav of the Rabbanim of Hakim are the Svardish Gedolim. This is really very questionable, if that's a way to Paskin Shilas. Take, for example, when we learned in the yeshiva, so some of the students used to throw it in the middle of a shiur, someone would say, but the Meiri says not so. So they would always get very upset about that. He would scream, you stop bothering me with your Meiris. The Meiri was lost for so many years. It was a manuscript. And then they discovered it, and they printed all of these Meiris. We never had a tradition on these Meiris. So fine, there's so many other Rishonim were lost, and now they discovered. Now we have a world full of Rishonim. So that was a hasoge that the Chazon Ish had against the whole Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura reverses the Psak HaMekubal. There was a Psak HaMekubal in the Shulchan Aruch for centuries. Then the Mishnah Brura comes and he reverses the whole Psak because it came out with a new Meiri and a new Maram Chalava and a new edition of the Sefer Wita. They published all these new Kisvei Yad. And the Mishnah Brura is reversing the Psak. So the Chazon Ish has a hasoge on the whole style of reversing Psak. What do you mean? These Svarim were missing for so many years, but he never had a Masor on this. So we should maybe we should ignore it. It's interesting, okay, but to reverse the Psak based on the Iris, based on these kind of things, very questionable. The Sridhar Yesh has an interesting tshuva. The din is, just yesterday, someone was talking to me about this. The din is that Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTarkula, V'chai Bahem V'lo She'omus Bahem. So what's the definition of pikuach nefesh? Only when one's life is in danger. What if he's in danger of losing a limb? What about sakonas aver? So in Shulchan Aruch, the psak hamekubal in the Shulchan Aruch is that in order to violate a din deraisa, in order to violate a malacha deraisa on Shabbos, you have to have a sakonas achayim. You may lose your life. In order to violate only the rabbanans, if there's sakonas aver, all the rabbanans are mutter. And if he's a chayla she'em ba'sakon, it's just that he has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, so then we don't allow him to have different opinions in the Rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes four opinions, and then it says, the Mechaber writes, v'alocha k'deya ha'shlishis, we should pass him like the Ramban, and the Torah Sa'odom, that's quoted by the Tur. So you have to look in the Ramban. So the Ramban says, when you have basically what the Ramban says in effect is, he doesn't say in these words, but that's what he says in effect, that for a chayla she'en b'sakona, if he has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, you're not allowed to violate a deraisa, you're not even allowed to violate a malocha derabbanon, but whatever is only a gzera derabbanon, that you can violate. So you have to know how to learn to know what's a gzera derabbanon, what's a malocha derabbanon. Same thing in macholos asuris. The Gemara says, to get hanoa, shaluk haderach hanoa soy, from Isuri hanoa, so that's muta for a chayla she'en b'sakona. But to drink stam yeinim, that's us. To drink, that's how we paskin. Why? The Ran and Psochim explains, and the Gemara and Daf Chafei. To drink stam yeinim is like a malocha derabbanan on Shabbos. So that's his macholos asuris mederabbanan. So that we're not matir. A malocha derabbanan, we're only matir if there's at least a sakana sefer. But in order to be matir something that's only a gzeira, to get hano shaloka derech hano osam, that's a gzeira derabbanan. It's not that that's macholos asuris mederabbanan, only a gzeira. On Shabbos, a lot of things are on Xeris. So Xeris, you would be makled by a Chol Hashem Sakon. So the Sridhar Yesh has a tshuva. He says that now that they started publishing all of these Meiris, and we have the Meiri on Maseches Avodah Zarah, on the Gemara, where the Gemara talks about Sakonas Ayin. So the way it says in our editions of the Gemara, it says that there's an infection in the eye. It's considered a chayla sheyeshbo suffix sakana because the blood vessels behind the eye are connected to the heart, and the infection may spread, and it may cause that he will die. Not that sakonas ayin is sakonas nefoshes. He may die because of that. So the Meiri has had clearly a different gears than the Gemara. So the Meiri says, whenever there's sakana sefer, danger of loss of life or limb is derech Shabbos. So in Shulchan Aruch, they didn't accept that opinion. So this Rida Yesh writes, maybe we should reconsider this issue. He doesn't pass in law. He said, maybe we should reconsider the issue, because not only does the Meiri say like that, there's a Tosis in Sukkah that says like that. Tosis quotes that Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Sakana Sefer is Deche Kol HaTorah Kula. And there's a Rabbi Natan quoted by the Martchai also says the same. So you have three Rishonim, and not just the Meiri. You have three Rishonim, maybe you should reconsider. So the truth of the matter, all the Mepharshim say that Tosis in Sukkah is probably in this print, because when you're looking at Tosfei Harash, it says it's word for word the same as Tosfei, except for that one word, that it says Sakonis Ayin is Sakonis Nefoshes. It doesn't say Sakonis Aver. Sakonis Ayin, because the blood vessels behind the eye are connected to the heart and can travel, the infection can travel. And the Rabbi Natan quoted my Martchai also didn't really say that. The only one who really says it is the Meiri. So the Pashtus is we don't reverse the Psokim. We had a tradition what the din is. The halacha was worked out in any generation. In the later generations, a lot of times you have Mishnah Rishayin and Mishnah Achrayinu. A lot of times in the later generation, the consensus switched from one to the other. But to switch the consensus, not because you discovered Kisviyad from Rishayinim, who say not so. And these Rishayinim, all of the Kisviyad were in hiding. They were missing for so many generations. So that's Hasoga, that's Rav Soloveitchik, who wasn't so keen. He wasn't interested in all these Meiris and all of these Rabbis and all this. Whatever's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Meiri is very often quoted in the Shulchan Aruch from the Orchis Chaim. A lot of the Orchis Chaims are based on the Meiri. So whatever's quoted is quoted. But all the other Meiris, they were basically not accepted. Rabbi Soloveitchik, they quote the Rabbi Baron Soloveitchik, Paskin Lalocha like that, that Sakonis Aver is Decha Shabbos, Decha Kol HaTorah Kula, based on that Meiri. But Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik, I doubt would follow such an opinion. Anyway, sometimes it's a big problem figuring out what is the opinion of the rove of the poskim. If you're just looking in Svarim, you don't have an oral tradition, what the Haskamas rove of poskim is, it's not so easy, because not everybody wrote the Sefer. I remember years ago when we used to have a Chagas Smicha in Yeshiva, so Dr. Belkin was officially the Rosh Yeshiva, so he would speak, but he wasn't such a good public speaker, so he would speak 10, 15 minutes, and he would introduce Rav Soloveitchik, and he would speak. So I remember on one occasion, Dr. Belkin was explaining, we're giving you Smicha, we want you to paskin properly. There is a klal in the Gemara, Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The Gemara says, regarding the many disputes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But it doesn't mean that anything goes, you can paskin whatever you darn please. No, there's a klal in Psak Halacha, Bishamai b'makom misilo, ain't a Mishnah. We don't even consider Pshitas Bishamai as a Sofik Kol Dehu. Eilu v'Eilu means, number one, Eilu v'Eilu Kim Chai means when you study Bishamai's opinion, and you know in advance that we're not going to paskin like them, so that should be considered Bitl Torah. So the answer is no. The Divrei Elokim Chayim, Bishamai, we're also working with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas Bam. So it's not considered Bitl Torah. But it doesn't mean you have a right to paskin like the Bishamai. You have to know how to paskin. So the Pashtus is Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim means it's a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah. We don't always say Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Let's say you have two Girsas in the Gemara. And it's a question, which is the correct Girsa? So the one that's wrong is dead wrong. Pashtus is wrong is wrong. So you don't say, Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There's a Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, where Rashi, and there's one Tosus on the Amud there, only one Tosus, so you can't miss it. Rashi and Tosus explain in the Gemara, the only time you say, Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, when two Chachamim have a Machloikas, Alibed Den Abshayu. They're looking at the Din and the Chumash, there's an institution of Yiyush, and there's a machloikas abai v'rava, where the yush olam yidas abai yush anah. That's something like that. But if you have a Tana made a statement, and the Amoraim have a machloikas, what did the Tana mean to say? Did he mean A or B? The Tana didn't talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. Either he said A or B. That's like if you have two different girsas in the Gemara, one is correct and one is incorrect. So you can't say Elu Yelu. So if you have a machloikas aliba dechad mandami, you have a machloikas amoraim, what did the Tana mean? Tana only meant one or the other. He didn't mean both. When the Rebbe Shlom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, there we say Ela Ela Devilikim Chaim. So the Ritva in the first perek the end of the first perek in Erevin, when the Gemara has that statement Ela Ela Devilikim Chaim, so the Ritva explains how can it be that they're both right. So the Ritva explains when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked, that's how they're learning Hilchas Tzitzis. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, what's the din in this case? Rebbeinu Shlom says, the Tzitzis are kosher. What's the din in that case? The Tzitzis are pasul. What's the din in this case? He says, that's a great area of halacha as elements of Hechsher, elements of Psul, or elements of Isa, elements of Heta, elements of Chiyuv, elements of Ptur, whatever the case happens to be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I leave it up to the Hachra'a of the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dabador to be Machriya according to their perspective, whether the elements of Heta outweigh the elements of Isa, the elements of Isa outweigh the elements of Heta. So that's acceptable. You can have different perspectives. You can have different people looking at the same thing from different angles, from different perspectives. They're looking, everybody has 20/20 vision. They're all looking at the same thing. And one person sees it in one way, the other person, because he's looking from a different window, from a different angle. And they're all looking at the same thing. That's how they quote in the name of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger was a Masnagid, and he had a son-in-law who was a Chassid, had a grandson who was a Chassidish Rebbe, a Blebele Eger. So they say the name of Rabbi Akiva Eger. They attribute it to the Chafetz Chaim, to other Gedolim also. There's a man says, "That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu lasses machal at tzaddikim." Allah said, "Lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a dance with the tzaddikim." So a machal is a circular dance. And the Shechina is going to be in the middle. And they'll all be pointing, that means you can point, so all of the people will be dancing around the circle of Chassidim. Rabbi Kivega said, the Chassidim will be on this side, the Snagdim will be on that side. All equidistant from the center, but each one has a different perspective about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. Because the Chassidim are standing over there, and the Snagdim are standing over there. But all equidistant. They're all the same closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And each one is saying based on his perspective. You can have different perspectives of the same thing. Everybody has 20/20 vision. So in halacha also you have like that. Eilu ve'eilu divilikim chayim. Yeah. But you don't always say eilu ve'eilu. Sometimes you have a tshuva svarim where the person wrote something. Beferish against the pasuk of Chumash. Beferish against a mishnah, against the gemara. You don't always say eilu ve'eilu divilikim chayim. So the Mishkan is Yankif has a sefer on brachas, that's called Koheles Yankiv. He has several tshuvas there also. They were not included in Mishkan's Yankiv, but in the Sefer Koheles Yankiv, several of them are very important tshuvas. And then he has a lot of comments on brachas and on other things on Seder Moed. So this he has on the first parak in brachas, when the Gemara discusses Osik Dibir Besham Alayot. So he says that Eilu ve'eilu divilikim chayim is not only relevant as far as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that when you spend time learning B'Shamay's opinion, it's not considered bittul Torah, it's considered a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's even relevant halacha l'maisa sometimes. That the shita that's not accepted l'halacha is not that we say that shita is wrong and it's bittul Torah when you study that shita. No, the shita that wasn't accepted was also based a lot of times based on Midrash HaTorah Nidrash HaSpehem. Sometimes it's dead wrong, but sometimes also based on Midrash HaTorah Nidrash HaSpehem. And even though we know how we paskin, but it's still considered a Safek Kol Dehu. Maybe the din is like that shita. What is the significance if it's a Safek Kol Dehu? So the Gemara says that Orla B'chutz Lor, it says Halachal Moshe Machlekes, what is the Rabbanan, Halachal Moshe Misinai. Most assume that it's Halachal Moshe Misinai. All of Eretz Yisrael is a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, Kisavoy al Horetz, and a Taitim Kolayitz Michael. So that's all of Eretz Yisrael. And all of Chutz Loretz, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And the Gemara says, V'kach Aifetz, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, so ought to be Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. So why Safik all of Chutz Loretz L'Kula? So the Gemara says, Kach Nemra Halacha. That was part of the package deal of the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Orla, that's Sveika Mutter. So the Ran on the Rif at the end of the first parak in Kedushim, where the Gemara talks about this, Orla's halacha l'moshe misinai. So he says, even if it's only a sofik kol dehu, the Gemara has a loshen kol amekol ba'aretz, halacha kamosa b'chutz lo'aretz. If there's a machlokes in Hilchas Orla and Eretz Yisrael, and we follow the majority, and the Rav say l'chumre, but in chutz lo'aretz, kol amekol ba'aretz, even though he's the yochid, halacha kamosa b'chutz lo'aretz, Because to be mekal and safek gola, all you need is a safek koldu. The Gemara says the same regarding avelos. Kol makom shatamotzi, rabbi machnirim v'yochid mekal, halachik debi harabim, let's say, adin derabbanan. It is a machloikis haposkim, and the rov haposkim say lachumra. So you're going to say safek derabbanan lakula, because there's a legitimate pesuk that says lahakel. No, if rov haposkim say lahachmer, it says not a safek derabbanan lakula. But Hilchas Avelos, that's not Hilchas Avelos, Safek Avelos Lahakel. Tosis in Erevim points out, so Halochi the Ramekel Ba'ovel, even if he holds like the Goinim, the Avelos Yamushin is their Isa, you still say Halochi the Ramekel Ba'ovel, Safek Avelos Lakula. It's based on a Pasuk in Chumash, the Ramban and the Torah Sodom tells you where the Pasuk is, right at the beginning of Parsha Samor, this week's Sedra, that it has to be Vadai, whenever there's any Safek Koldahu. So there's no chiyuv to observe avelus. And whenever you have a machloikis and there's a miut opinion lahakel, so then the din is that it's a safek kolda was enough to be mekel. And that's also the Gemara has. Sometimes there's an adin derabbanan. We say safek derabbanan lekula. Safek derabbanan lekula is only if it's a safek ashokel. It's approximately 50-50. What if it's clearly lopsided? The roiv say lahachmir and only the miut say lahakel. So that's not called a safek derabbanan lekula. But the Gemara says, "Kedai Hareb Shem at least machala b'shas atchak." If you have a big hefsed meruba, you have a big shas atchak, and you're only dealing with a din derabbanan to begin with. And if there would have been a real 50-50 sofik, the klal would have been sofik derabbanan lekula. So if there's a big hefsed meruba, so we say b'shas atchak, it can rely on the shita sayochid, even though normally we don't pasken like the shita sayochid. So all the poskim in Yeridei, the shach and all the major poskim all say, that's an extension of the din of Seika derabbanan lekula. If you have a real din deraisa, you're discussing a real din deraisa. Can he say b'shas atchak? Kedai yushita seyachid lismochala b'shas atchak. Kedai rapleini. What do you mean? Even if it would have been a 50-50 sofik, that's sofik deraisa lechumer. But if it's an issue derabbanan, where we say that sofik derabbanan lekula, so even though it's not 50-50, it's still a sofik oldahu. So if it's a big shas atchak, then the Gemara says you have a right to be mekel. Kedai haraplani, this machala b'shas atchak. There's a famous story that's printed in Sfarim. The Gemara has, in the days of the Tanaim, there was a Tana Shimon Hamsoini, the Gemara in Psochem and in different places of Babakama. The Gemara quotes the Shimon Hamsoini. He went with the Shito Hiyadorish Kales V'yesh Abatar. Every time it says, B'reishis Balkim, Esa Shamayim, Esa Oretz. He had a drosha, and every time, what is S coming to be marbed? Until he got to the pasuk, Es Hashem Elokech Atira. There's only one God in heaven above. So what do you mean, Es Hashem Elokech Atira? The rabbis whom? Who are you going to be marbed? There's only one God. So Pirish, he backed out from all of his drushes, and he said, everything he said is wrong. So the Talbinim said, but we have notebooks and notebooks full of all the drushes. He said, put them all in Shemus, it's all wrong. He backed, came Shemus, Gebart, Ischar al Adrisha, Kacha Kabo, Ischar al Aprisha. At the time that I was saying all the drushes, I thought they were correct. So I get Schar for trying to figure out the correct shot. And now I get reward from backing out. Because Ali Bademis, you have to back out. All the drushes are incorrect. This was in the earlier generations. The Gemara, the Brises continues, Hashabar Rabbi Kiva Velimeid, Es Hashem Elokech Atir, the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim, the Mora Rabbah Kemora Shamayim. By Rabbi Muvak, not only is there a din of Kovet Talmid HaChachamim, there's a din of Mora Rabbah Kemora Shamayim. So the Maisu Shohaya was that there was a Chazan whose name was Shimon, and they sent one Rav sent a Shaila to the other Rav. They caught the Chazan eating traces. And then Shulchan Aruch says, if you have two Edim, you can't fire a Chazan based on Ed Echad, but if you have even Edis Miuchedis, one Ed says he was Machal HaShabbos, one Ed says he ate Trepas, so you can fire a Chazan based on it. So the rabbi wanted to be Mesalik the Chazan, because he's not a Medaktik Amitzus, he ate Trepas, but the Balabatim enjoyed his voice very much. So the rabbi realized if he'll fire the Chazan, it'll cause a big Machloikis in the community. So the way this, the rabbi wrote to Shaila to the other Talmud Chacham, he wrote, the name of the Chazan was Shimon. So he said, Shimon zed dorish kal es v'yesh habatar. In Yiddish, the word esen means to eat food. Es ha-chazir, es ha-gomlov, es ha-nevis. He eats all the trefa food. And then he says, they found out that he eats trefas. And the Shaila was, if they'll fire him, it'll cause a big machleika. So what should they do? So the one who was asked the Shaila sent back a psak, mutav lahamid, tzelem v'echol, while Yabba Machloik is be Israel. I don't think that's a Loshin and a Medrash anywhere. There isn't such a Maimah Chazal. But that's the lotion, that's the expression that the Talmud Chacham coined. It's better to put a tzelem in an Aron Kodesh, mutav la'am et tzelem ba'echal, while yabba machlek is b'so. What does it mean? So the pashtus is that that's what it means, that b'shas hatchak, we have a klal, sometimes something is osa l'chatchila, but it's mutav b'dievet. So it's not right to have a chazan who eats treifas, but b'dievet, if he serves as the bal tefillah and he davens, b'dievet yeyotze. So b'shas hatchak, we would have a klal, we allow lachatchila, what usually is only muta b'dievet. Many of Rav Moshe Feinstein's psokim are based on that. That a lot of times, if you're dealing with in America, you're dealing with non-observant people, not so medactic, not so learned. So a lot of times it's considered a shas hatchak. So the shas hatchak, a lot of times we can pass on lachatchila what normally would only be acceptable b'dievet. So the Pesach, the one who was involved at that time, I think it was the brother-in-law of the Ramo, if I'm not mistaken, the one who gave the Pesach. Mutav l'ham etzem b'hechom. So he thought that causing machloikas is considered a shas hatchak. If the fire, the chazan, will cause a big machloikas in the community, so that's a shas hatchak. So leave the chazan, even though he's eating treifas. That's the famous story from Rav Chaim Volozhiner also, that there was a shochet in one of the villages, and he wasn't being bodik d'reya. So B'dikus HaRei is only made the Rabbanim, because the Ramban, in the beginning of Chulin, explains when you have a Miut HaMatzui, so there's a Chavis B'dikah made the Rabbanim. Same checking for Shatnas, do you have to check for Shatnas or not? So if it's a Miut HaMatzui, you must have to check. Miut Sheni Matzui, same thing B'dikus Toiloim. When do you have to check for worms? If it's a Miut HaMatzui, in this particular fruit or vegetable, then there's a Chavis B'dikah made the Rabbanim. And if it's a Miut Sheni Matzui, even made the Rabbanim, you're not Mechiv. So they wanted to fire the shochet because they found out that he's not being bodik d'reya. But they knew that it would cause a big machlokes in the community. So they asked Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner said that b'dikus HaRei, the whole need for b'dikus HaRei is only by the Rabbanan. Even when it's a miyat hamatzah, it's only by the Rabbanan. And machlokes is an isa d'reisa. Liyak kekorech v'chad osay. Hamachzik b'machlokes hayu v'loy sesay. So he said that since it will cause machloikas, so shas hatchakedi evedami, it's better to leave. You shouldn't fire the sheikhet. You should work with him and get him to teach him how to be boidik derei. Yeah, we don't always say. That's what the Mishkan is Yankiv on brachas. We don't always apply this rule. Avelu v'ele dira lekim chaim. We don't always say let's say halachic divra mekel ba'ovel, or mekel baretz halachic gemara says bechutz la'aretz. The gemara says in brachas on lamed, I think on lamed vav on the base, if you have a machlokes b'shamay b'shilol, and we don't paskin like b'shamay, so if it would be an issue of arla bechutz la'aretz, we wouldn't say since b'shamay am mekel in eretz yisrael, even though we don't paskin like them, but in chutz la'aretz halachic divra mekel, we wouldn't say like that. The gemara says why? Because b'shamay b'makam b'shilol ain't a mishnah. The original statement in the Gemara that Eile Be'ele Dibele Kim Chaim was an error in Yud Gimel and Beis with respect to Beishamai and Beishilo. But there it's limited to other machlekes, and Eile Be'ele applies even more often than to Beishamai and Beishilo. Beishamai and Beishilo means to learn Beishamai's opinion is a Cheftza Shal Torah, and you mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But other machlekes, and it's more than that, means even Halacha L'Maisa, we consider it a suffix called why is Beishamai and Beishilo, why is it worse? Why are they inferior that you don't even consider their shita like a suffix called the whom? So Moshe Feinstein talks about that. I didn't know the background of this. So Rav Nissen Alpert, Zulchan Lebracha, told me he was witness to this. I never saw this. Sometimes Rav Moshe Feinstein was often invited to come to weddings, and he knew how much it meant to people if he would attend their wedding. So he would sometimes attend 3-4 weddings in one night to make people happy. So he would always come on time. Want people to wait for him. He was a wonderful, extremely humble individual. So Rav Moshe would come on time. He would fill out the ksuba, and every so often Rav Blazer Silver would come from out of town. He would come late. He would see that Rav Moshe had filled out a printed ksuba, just filled in the names and the date and the city. So he would rip up the ksuba demonstratively in public, and he would write over the ksuba by hand, and he would say, "We should be machma like the shita of Rav Yudah." There's a Mishnah in Gittin that only Gittin have to get in Shtar Kiddushin and Shtar Shichah Eviknayni. 3 shtaris need Ksiva Lishma. All the other shtar is mammon. Aksuba is a shtar mammon. You don't need ksiva lishma. But there's one opinion Rabbi Yehuda has that there's a gzera de rabbanon. All shtaris have to have ksiva lishma, a gzera ought to get. So if you have a printed text and you just fill in the name, so the whole thing, the whole text of the ksuba was printed shalal lishma, wasn't printed for this chasana. So that's shalal lishma. So Blazer Silver said we should be machmer for Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. So Rabbi Nissen Alpert said he would look at, he was a big talmud of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. So he said Rabbi Moshe wouldn't bat an eyelash, he wouldn't say boo. Rabbi Blazer Silver would take over. And then, but Rabbi Moshe had the last word because Rabbi Moshe published tshuvas. Rabbi Moshe in one of the tshuvas goes on a digression and he says, would anybody in his right mind ever think that it's kedai to write a ksuba, to be choshet, to write the whole ksuba from the beginning to the end, not to use a printed ksuba to be choshet for Rabbi Yehuda Shita, kedai, even though the halacha is like the rabbim, but it's a midas chasidus to be choshet for the Shita Sayochet, because Eilu Eilu Dibel Kim Chaim. So he says, no, just like Bishamai b'makam Mesila in a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda b'makam Chachamim also, in a Mishnah. Why? Why is Bishamai b'makam Mesila in a Mishnah? So Moshe says, because they were all together. The din of Acharab Melahatas applies. Different Rabbanim lived in different communities, different Rishonim, different Acharim lived in different countries, different parts of the world. So we look up to all of them. So we go Basarayv of the Rabbanim of Hakim that we have. The Spartim go Basarayv of their Rabbanim. Ashkenazim go Basarayv. We have 500 Rabbanim of Hakim and they have 500 Rabbanim of Hakim. And by us, the Rayv is in one direction. By them, the Rayv is in the other direction. So you say Acharam Lahata is even when they're in different places. But then there's another din Acharam Lahata. If they're all together, Omdu Laminyan, they're all together in the same base medrash, then the miut is outvoted, and then you no longer say Eila Eila Dibur L'Kim Chaim. So he said Bishamai and Bishilo, they used to learn together in the same base medrash. So since the Bishamai were outvoted, also Bishamai Kidivreyem, the Talmidim of Yeshivas Bishamai followed their Rebbe Muvik. They followed that opinion. But the Beis Hillel can say B'shas HaTchak will rely on Beis Shammai, or if it's an issue of Orla B'chutzlot Kedai, so we say it's a Sofik Olduhu Kol HaMekol Boretz Halacha Kamasa B'chutzlot will rely on Beis Shammai. No, if it was Omdu L'Minyan, they were all together B'makam Echad and the Miut was outvoted, then you no longer say Eilu V'Eilu B'negei Halacha L'Maisa. So that's a lot of times that is the case. The Gemara talks about the many disputes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Ha'isa kikula Beis Shammai kikula Beis Hillel. You follow the kulas of Beis Shammai, kulas of Beis Hillel. He's a Rosha. Means he's not asking the shailas at all. Just looking for a kula. The one who does the chumras of Beis Shammai and the chumras of Beis Hillel, so that's aksil b'chosh ha'cholech. That's ridiculous. It's silly. Because he's supposed to ask Shilas. So the Gemara asked on Rabbi Akiva, there was a machlokes, Bishamai Bishilol, when is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? Is it Rosh Chodesh Shvat or is it Tu B'Shvat? So Rabbi Akiva was machmer in both directions. By Ilon, Paris Ilon, you go Basa Chanata. If the Chanata occurred before Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, so the Paris belonged to last year. Let's say last year was a Maaser Sheni year, this year is a Maaser Ani year. So the Kodeya is whether the Hanata occurred before Rosh Hashanah Ilanis or after Rosh Hashanah Ilanis. So what if the Hanata occurred in between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat, punct in between? So we have we pass in Tu B'Shvat as Rosh Hashanah Ilanis. But Rabbi Akiva was machmer to be mafresh both, Ma'aser Sheni and Ma'aser Ani. So the Gemara says, why did he do that? That's Haksil B'Chosh HaCholach, he's machmer for the B'Shamay and for the B'Shilo. So the Gemara says, Gemara is topically. He had a tradition that there was a machlokes, Bisham and Beis Hillel, but it was so many years earlier, he had two versions. He wasn't sure which was Beis Hillel Shita. Were Beis Hillel the ones who said Rosh Chodesh Shvat, or Beis Hillel were the ones who said Tu B'Shvat? So that's not called Aksil B'Chosh HaCholach. If you go to Chumra in both directions, because they're not sure what the din is, because Gemara is topically, so then it's okay to do that. So, the Mishkan Yankov has a tshuva. He had correspondent with Ephraim Zalman Margolius. He has a tshuva about making a Reuven. Ephraim Zalman Margolius lived in Galicia and Broad. In Galicia, every village had, every city had an Erev. And the Mishkan Yankov lived in Lithuania. He was in Rabbi Yankov Karlina, stolen Karlin. He had to deal with the Kadina Hasidim, the Stalin Hasidim. So in Lit, they weren't so keen about the making Eruvin all over the place. So the Mishkan Yankov has in his correspondence with the Rav Chaim Zalman Margolius back and forth, so he has a footnote in the middle of a tshuva. All the tshuvas are written in Rashi script, and the footnote is in bold block letters. So he has a historical comment that there was an attitude in Pesach that was introduced by the Hasidi Ashkenaz. That was the end of the period of the Bali Atesis. You have more than 10 places. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion, the recommendation of the Maharam Rotenberg to be choshish for all the Shitas. For many generations, the way the Paskin was, the Ashkenazim followed the Ashkenazim and the Sfarim followed the Sfarim. Each one followed. The Democrats voted Democrat and the Republicans voted Republican. Right? And then by the time Hasidi Ashkenaz came, they thought, let's try to be choshish for all the Shitas. So in Shulchan Aruch we have on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlokes where they say Shachyanu or not, because it's on the one hand it's Yom Arichta, so maybe you should not say Shachyanu. So there's a machlokes, and the Maam Rutmerk said you should have a bega chadosh or pi chadosh. For sure, it's not a bracha lebatol. Or there's a machlokes in Rishonim, machlokes atanoim, and a machlokes in Rishonim. If you make cake or cookies and you didn't use water, you only use meperis. Is it mitzaref everything together and it's a chiyav challah because you have chameshes roim kemach v'yod? Well, no, maybe meperis is not mitzaref, maybe it's not mechaber, and you're not mechuyav. So it's a machlekes in the days of the early Rishonim, a later Rishonim, machlekes had a paskin. So the Maharam Rutmerg is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as saying, you should always mix in a significant amount of water that you would have been able to do the lisha even without the meperis. So for sure, you're chayav in challah and you can say a bracha. Because it's not right to be mafish challah without a bracha. Lisofi. And Professor Kanefogel told me, I think maybe he sent me a copy, he published an essay. We collected, I think, over 10 places in Shulchan Aruch where they quote different Midas Chassidus of the Maharam Rutenberg to be choshish for all the different opinions. So this was a concept that was introduced into Pesach Halacha and the later generations of the Bali Atesis. You look in the Mishnah Brura, he took this and he multiplied it by 100 or by 1,000. So on every page in the Shulchan Aruch, he's recommending, the Mishnah Brura is recommending how to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions in the Rishonim, all the opinions in the Achronim. So that's what they say from Rav Henkin, that the Mishnah Brura is a good sefer of Bnei Yeshiva. Okay, Bnei Yeshiva like to be machmen, to be choshish for all the Shitas. But for Balabatim, it's too hard to expect of the Balabatim. They should follow all the Chumras in the world. So that's a little unfair. So he said, for Balabatim, the Rabbanim maybe should pass him like the Rosh HaShulchan. He gives you one psak. He doesn't go to be machma like all the Shitas. There's an interesting sefer. There's a Shadas HaTshuvas. I remember I saw it once in a yeshiva. I don't have it. Shadas HaTshuvas, Tirosh V'Yitzar. So the Hakdama to this sefer was written probably at the time of the First World War, early 1900s, I think. So the son of the Mechaber writes a Hakdama, so he writes that his father was so, the author of the Tshuvas, was so learned as a young man, as a teenager, he already got smicha from this godel, from that godel. And he says after he already got a few smichas, he went to the Abnei Nezer. Abnei Nezer died around 100 years ago, so he was a teenager earlier. He went for smicha, so the Abnei Nezer for him in Yeridei and Gemara, he knew. And then he asked him a question, how do you pass him when there's a machlokes between the Prima Godim and the Derech HaChaim Siddur? So he writes, my father was stumped. He didn't know what the correct answer is supposed to be. How are you supposed to pass him? Derech HaChaim Siddur is written by the Nesibis. So how do you pass him when there's machlokes the Prima Godim and the Derech HaChaim Siddur? So his father wasn't going to fake. He didn't know the answer. So he said, I don't know what the correct answer is supposed to be. I personally would follow the because the Derech HaChaim Siddur gives you A, B, C. He tells you how to paskin. The Prima Godim writes a whole story. Then he says, look over there, but I wrote there with Tzorachin. Then you look over there, he writes a whole story. Then he says, Tzorachin, look over there. You look over there. So finally, you go full circle, you come back, and everything is Tzorachin, and I'm not sure what the maskana is. So he says, I don't know what the correct answer is supposed to be. I personally would follow the Derech HaChaim Siddur because he gives you A, B, C, tells you what to follow. So the Abnei Nezer told him, young man, there is no klal, how to paskin, but this you should know. I have a tradition from my father-in-law. His father-in-law was the Kotzker Rebbe. Avnezer was Sachet Shavu Rebbe. So he says, I have a tradition from my father-in-law that now that the Prima Gadim is available, you always have to look in the Prima Gadim to see what issues he raises. You have a right to paskin against him, but you have to see what issues he raises. And Mizman Hazeh, that Prima Gadim is available. Whoever paskins without looking the Prima Gadim has a status of a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. Interesting comment. That's the story that's related in the Hagdomah to the Sefer Tirush V'Yitzar that's written by the son of the Mechaber. There's something fishy, there's something fishy with this story, because if you're familiar with the Tshuvas of the Avnei Nezer, Big Talmid HaChachamim sent Shailas to him, so many of the Shailas would mention sometimes Prima Gadim when they sent their Shailas. So the Prima Gadim every so often will write, Ein Darki La'ayim B'Prima Gadim. I don't have the practice, I never look in the Prima Gadim. So how can it be that he's the one who told the young man that he has a tradition from his father-in-law that if you don't look in the Prima Gadim, he himself writes that he never looked in the Prima Gadim. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Prima Gadim, in the Avnei Nezer, in the second Chelek Yerideya, by the Siman around Reish Mem over there, by the Siman about paskening Shilas and appointing a rabbi in a community. So all the tshuvas in Avnei Nezer have numbers. This one has a number also, I forgot the number, but it has a title. The other tshuvas don't have a title. The title, it's a very long tshuva, so it's like a separate kuntris. And the title is Sheish Mailas Lakisei. I think the Pasuk says in Tanakh that Shlem HaMelech had a throne that had six steps that you had to walk up. So here there was a Shaila, a big Talmid Chacham was a rabbi in the community, he passed away. And there was a machlokes in the community whether they should take his son as their rabbi in the community or his son-in-law. Son-in-law was also a Talmid Chacham. So the Avnei Nezer writes a whole tshuva, and he has to... before he comes to the Maskan, he has to overcome six hurdles. So the Sheish Mailas Lakisei, the six issues have to be taken care of before the son of the son-in-law, I forgot already what his Maskan is, before whoever is entitled gets the Rabbanus in the community. And years later, there was a big Talmid Chacham, I think he was the son-in-law of the Alter von Slabodka. There was a discussion, Alter von Slabodka, before he died, there was a Machlokes between, I think, his son and his son-in-law, who should take over the yeshiva. So the son-in-law wrote a whole kuntris of a whole, close to 90 pages, I think. He printed a whole kuntris of Oris on this tshuva and Avnei Nezer, very lamdisha topics. So the Avnei Nezer there has an interesting idea. He says, years ago, when Rabbanim really had smicha, the real smicha ended 1,500 years ago. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The one is conferring the smicha, the one is receiving the smicha. They both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. And today there's no more smicha. It has to be Yish Mipish and Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have any more smicha. Today the smicha is only with the Rabbanim. So he says, years ago when people had smicha, there was a concept, a real psak halacha. The role of a musmach was to give a psak halacha, hayroah. Today, the Gemara says we can only function, the Gemara says in the end of Gitna and Daf Peches, the Rabbanim today function based on Shlichus Tayiku Abdinon. In the days of the Amoraim, the Rabbanim in Bavel didn't have smicha, so they were Shlichus Tayiku, they were considered Shluchim of the Musmachim in Eretz Yisrael. And today, we say Shlichus Tayiku Abdinon. We are considered Shluchim of the Amoraim who lived when there still was smicha in Eretz Yisrael, of the earlier generation. How that works is a big shaila whether Shlichosai works Menatarim and the Rabbanon. Talk about that some other time. So the Avnei Nezer says, the Gemara says, you only say Shlichosai on Milsa de Shchicha, the Is Bechisorin Kis. You don't say Shlichosai on Milsa de Lo Shchicha, or on Leis Bechisorin Kis, you don't apply Shlichosai. So he says, the role of the rabbi today is not so much to Paskan Shailas. The role of the rabbi is to maintain law and order in the community. Milsa de Is Bechisorin Kis, Milsa de Shchicha, V'iz Bechisorin Kis. It's interesting, the Rameir Bar Ilan wrote a book in Yiddish that's available in Hebrew, from Valojin Biz Yerushalayim. He, later on, he was zeichet to live in Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the big leaders in Mizrahi. So he writes in his book, the Orach HaShulchan, the Netziv's wife, he was son, Rameir Bar Ilan was the son of the Netziv. The Netziv's wife was a sister of the Aruch HaShulchan. Her maiden name was Berlin. So the Aruch HaShulchan was his uncle. That was his mother's brother. And Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, even though Rab Meir Bar Ilan was much younger than Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, he was Rab Chaim's uncle. because the Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan was the son of the Netziv from his second wife. After the first wife passed away, so he married a girl who was much younger, over 20 years younger than him. So Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan was younger than Rab Chaim. He learned by him in Volozhin, but he was Rab Chaim's uncle. So he writes in one place in his book that he asked his uncle and his nephew, what is the role of the rabbi? So he says, Dor HaShulchan was his mother's brother. Dor HaShulchan said, well, the rabbis, the Paskin Shilas. And he asked Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, he said, the role of the rabbi is to do chesed. That's what Avner Nezer says. The role of the rabbi is like a melech bizman hazeh. The role of the melech is melech b'mishpat yamed eretz. The king, the government has to have laws, rules and regulations to maintain peace among all of the people. So that's what the Avner Nezer talks about. Malchus, there is Yerusha, and learning, there's no Yerusha. So Rabbanus b'zman hazeh is dino k'malchus, because the role of the rabbi today is only to maintain law and order in the community. So that's what Rab Chaim said. The role of the rabbi is to supervise all inyoni chesed in the community. And in fact, Rab Soloveitchik said that Rab Chaim left instructions that when he passes away, and they write a matzeh, but they shouldn't write that he was Rosh Hashiva and Balozhin, shouldn't write that he... Other things about him, the Sefer came out way after Rab Chaim passed away. Sefer Rab Chaim ala Rambam was printed, I think, 1937 or something like that. It wasn't printed while he was alive. So they shouldn't write that he's Rosh Yeshiva or anything, that he was the Rav and Brisk or anything. Just write Ish Chesed. Now they made a new Matzeva. So the new Matzeva has a long story, but Rab Soloveitchik claims that the original Matzeva, Rab Chaim's Geber, only said Isha Chesed, something like that. Because that's because Rab Chaim held that the role of the rabbi today is to maintain peace in the community, like Melech Mishpat Yam and Eretz. Sometimes the younger Rabbanim thinks that it's their responsibility to take a stand in the Paskin Shilas. So Avner Nezer says, no, that's for the Gdoli Ador, that's most of the Shilas already always get Paskin. In the Shulchan Aruch, in the Shach, in the Biragro, in the Pischei Tshuva, everything was taken care of. It's not our responsibility today to come up with new psokim. We follow what it says already in the Shulchan Aruch. A klal that the Rabbanim have to keep in mind, the Babli has this a few times. The Shach and Yeridah points out this never appears in the Yerushalmi, but the Babli does appear a few times. Odom Choshev Shaini. Even though something the Iker Adin is Mutter, sometimes we recommend that an Adam Chashuv should be Machmir on himself, because the Balabatim know the rabbi is supposed to be somebody special. And if the rabbi is Mekel on something, so they can do 10 Madregas lower than the rabbi. So if the rabbi is going to just follow the din, Balabatim are going to be 10 Madregas lower, they'll be in violation of the din. So sometimes it's recommended, not always. Sometimes we would recommend that the Talmud Chacham should consider himself Adam Chashuv, that he should be Machmir on things. In fact, in the Gilas Ruas, that we normally, on the normal circumstance, we read it on Shavuos. Megillas Rus, the beginning of the story is that Elimelech lived with Naomi in Eretz Yisrael, and it says they were Ephrasim. So Rashi translates, what is Ephrasim? Anoshim Chashuvim. What's the significance, Anoshim Chashuvim? So the Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Malachim, when he quotes the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, he quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra, the Meikar Adin, there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but if there's a famine, if living conditions are miserable, so then you're permitted to leave the Chutz Lords. So why was Elimelech and his family, why were they punished? That everybody died, the two sons died, and they married the Nochrios, and the husband died. Why did everybody die? Because they were Anoshim Chashuvim, and even though Meikar Adin, it's mutter to leave Eretz Yisrael, if it's a Shnasra Ovein, if there's no food to eat, if it's a famine, but Adam Choshev Shaini, Adam Choshev should be Machmer. So because they weren't Machmer, that's why they were punished, and they lost their children, everybody died. So it's important that even if the rabbi feels it's proper to be Mekel in a certain situation, sometimes the rabbi has to realize that he's an Adam Choshev, he should be Machmer. They told me over, I never heard this, they told me over in the name of Rabbi Amital Zechron Alevrocha, that the Mishnah Berurah a lot of times writes, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzmo. So he said when he learned as a teenager, when he learned the Merkaz Harav, so they all thought, oh, when they learned Mishnah Berurah, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzmo, the Nozir, Bal Nefesh, Rab Chalap is a Bal Nefesh. They didn't think it means me. He says, now the Talmidim are so arrogant. Every Bar Beirab, the Chad Yom, a boy who knows how to read Mishneh Berurah, he thinks that he's the Bal Nefesh. Mishneh Berurah is not talking about you. He's talking about an unusual tzaddik. But that's called man etzah Talmidim and Yeshiva. But then after the Bacher grows up and he gets married and he's appointed a rabbi in a community, sometimes he should consider himself a Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzmo, based on that principle that Adam Chashev Shaini. It's not always so wise, always to be machmer on everything. It's not a smart idea. I remember I was in the rabbinate for a few years. Officially, I was the rabbi of a shul that was a branch of Breuers, the Kala Dasu Shun in Paramus. It's no longer called Kala Dasu Shun. Now it's a Young Israel. They're no longer affiliated with Breuers. But when I was there, Rabbi Breuer was still alive and Rabbi Schwab was still alive. So every year I had to speak to Rabbi Schwab to discuss all the different issues that came up in the course of the year. So on one occasion, I remember Rabbi Schwab was asking me about someone, who do I know who this person is? I forgot his name. He's a Lubavitcher. He put out a book on shaving, that the Hadras Pnei Zokin. He said he has a whole book about all the Gedolim who are opposed to the shaving. So I think Haskama to that book. Then he put out another book, and he wanted Rabbi Schwab to give a Haskama, that you're not allowed, married women shouldn't wear a shetel, everyone should cover their hair with a hat or with a tich. So Rabbi Schwab asked me, do I know who he is? So I said, yeah, he's a single boy, he learns in Lubavitch, I think in Montreal or something. So before I finished the sentence, he says, of course he's single, which normal girl wants to marry a guy? He's not going to let her wear a shetel. So he said, I can't give a Haskama to that book. He said, young man, he tells me, when you're in the rabbinate, you have to learn to live with certain kulas. You can't be machmer on everything. So this we have to recommend. We have to encourage everyone to live with this kula, to use a shekel. It's a big kula. Many poskim halacha, Chacham Avadya always used to complain. Many gedolim complain you shouldn't wear a shekel. But he said, we have to encourage everyone to wear the shekel, because those are going to be machmer to insist on covering their head with a tichel or something. Then there's going to be, then they're going to stop covering their hair. So he was encouraged by different things. He says, encourage me in Rabbanus. A lot of times you have to get used to, you have to learn to live with certain kulas. As I remember, I have the full volumes of collection of letters of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Someone gave me a gift to like Shadus Achuvus, letters that he wrote on different halachic issues, I mean, Hagim, in the order of the Aber Chalka Shulchan Aruch. So I saw recently, I saw that he has a letter about the wearing a shekel versus wearing a tichel. So he also says, what do you mean you're going to be machmaps? He thinks that it's ridiculous. He encourages all the chassidim that they should rely on this kula to wear a shekel, not to be machmer for a tichel. The Rabbanim have to be careful when they paskin. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote in Hilchos HaRoah Sisa Beheta around the Reish Mem or so in Yerideya. So there are more quotes, a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hei. A Talmid Chacham has to be careful not to give a psak hatamur l'rabim. If you're going to give a kula, and the Baal HaBatim will think that you're crazy, so Baal HaBatim won't understand how could that possibly be, so you can't give such a psak. So just a few weeks ago, in the middle of this, people are dying. Thousands of people are dying. So Rav Soloveitchik told us that his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, had the following psak. So I wrote in one of the short pieces that I wrote that we can't paskin like that psak. There was a machlokes between the Netziv and Rabbi Rafael Balozhin, his son, Rafael Shapiro. If someone is told, someone lives in Eretz Yisrael, and they were told that their brother died in New York. Brother died today, and there's so many dead bodies, they're not going to get to bury the body till next week. It's going to take a long time because there's such a backup on so many masons. So the Netziv held that you don't begin the Shiva until after the Kvura. And Rabbi Foyle held not so. Rabbi Foyle held that you begin the Shiva right away. If you're not going to go to the funeral, there were no planes coming. The relative, the sister, and Herzl won't be able to come to the Kvura. So Rabbi Foyle held that the Shiva begins right away. I think my impression is that before the war, the majority of the major poskim in Europe held like the Netziv, that the Shiva doesn't begin till after the Kfura in such a situation. If the mace died in this city, and they're going to take him to a different city, and I was Mesasik in the Levaya a little bit, Then the Gemara says, when they leave the city, that's the Gemara HaHisaskus and the Kvura. So then you begin the Shiva, even though the Kvura didn't take place yet. But if I'm not even going to lift a finger, the relative is in Eretz Yisrael. They're not involved at all in the Kvura. So the Shiva does begin till after the Kvura. Rabbi Fall held on. So after the war, the consensus shifted. And now Rabbi Moshe and most of the contemporary Poskim hold like Rabbi Fall, that the Shiva begins right away. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik had the following Hayroah Halacha Lamaisa, Halacha Gedebra Mekal Ba'ovel, even tied to this Asri. You can begin the Shiva later, and end the Shiva as if you began before. So you'll only have 3.5 days of Shiva. You'll only have 1 day of Shiva. You have a right to be Mekal in both directions, even though it's tied to this Asri. Yeah, how do you have, a right even halacha de Ramekel even tied to this Asri? So that's the Ramban says like that the Ferish in the beginning of Ksubis. The Ran on the Rif quotes the Ramban that if someone dies, if somebody dies on Chalamoid and the Kvur is on Chalamoid or on Yontif, whatever, so Yontif Achra and the Yontif Sheni Shel Golis, the last day Yontif counts as the first day of Shiva, even though we don't observe anything. And the Ovel gets up a day earlier. Why? What does it count? So the Ramban says, because it's a Sfeika de Yoma. Sfeik, maybe it's Yontif, maybe it's not. So you go to Kula in both directions. You go to Kula, you don't observe Abelus on Yontif Sheni Shel Golis on the last day, because maybe it is Yontif. But then you go to Kula in the other direction, you say, maybe it was not Yontif, maybe Yontif Sheni was Chol, and the Shiva should begin a day earlier. So you go to Kula in both directions. That's Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik told us, the Rav told us, that's how Rav Moshe Paschal. I wouldn't think that that's, maybe if it's Talmid HaChamim, we can Paschal like that. But for Balabatim, I would think that that's a Psak HaTamu Ale Rabim. I don't think that's such a good idea to Paschal in public like that, to have Shiva 2.5 days. You go to Hokel in both directions. I would think that that's a Psak HaTamu Ale Rabim. A Rav has to be intellectually honest. You have in the Gemara, one of the Amoraim, I think it's usually Rava, the Amoraim, he would give up Psak, and then a week later he would reconsider, he would get up and say in public, I made a mistake, and the Psak is not so. That's intellectual honesty. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik told us, Rav Soloveitchik, this would happen every so often, every couple of months. Rav Soloveitchik would give it, my time he gave a shiur only on Tuesday and Wednesday. So he would come in the next week, and he would scream at us, how did you let me get away with such dvarim b'talim last week? And everything I said was wrong. And he would work over the Gemara again. We were petrified in the Shia. We were going to argue with him in the Shia. Some of us didn't agree with what he said, but we wouldn't open our mouths. So he would say, how did you let me get away? You should have attacked me last week. It's wrong. And he would say, he made a mistake last week. He was intellectually honest. He told the story that when Rav Chaim was appointed by the Netziv as co-Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, towards the end of the history of Volozhin Yeshiva, it lasted 90 years. So there were those who felt that Rav Chaim was not worthy of giving a shiur, and he was only appointed because he married the Netziv's granddaughter. So they brought it up to the board of the Volozhin Yeshiva, one was Mosmachim alumni who had learned in Volozhin, who were big rabbanim in big cities. So the board decided they're going to come, and they're going to let Rav Chaim Soloveitchik get up and give a shiur, and we'll decide whether he's worthy of giving a shiur or not. So Rav Chaim got up and he said a shiur, and in the middle of the shiur, he realized, he was coming to explain a difficult, problematic Rambam. In the middle of the shiur, he realized that there's a Pirush HaMishnayos LaHarambam that contradicts everything that he said. So he thought for a moment, and he realized that he made a mistake, and he said, everything I said is wrong, I just realized it's wrong, and he sat down in the middle. And he said he could have pulled the wool over their eyes. No one would have known about this Pirush HaMishnayos. The listeners didn't know, but he said he was intellectually honest, and he told the truth. He says he made a mistake, everything he said is wrong. And that was the shiur that's going to make or break him, whether he's going to be worthy of being Rosh Yeshiva. So the board decided that if the man is so honest, that he can, this is the shiur that's going to determine whether he's worthy to be a Rosh Yeshiva. If he's honest enough to sit down in the middle and say they made a mistake, he's worthy to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. I just mentioned, I remember about intellectual honesty. Rabbi Perlow, who just passed away, used to live here in the neighborhood in Washington Heights years ago. He was officially the Rosh Yeshiva in Breuer's Beis Medrash, and the practice was, whoever was the Rosh Yeshiva was officially the rabbi in the Aguda. So there was a period of time that I used to daven in the Aguda on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I remember once, on Shabbos morning, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, they found a mistake in Shlishi Revi, somebody found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So they put away the Sefer Torah, took out a new Sefer Torah. Rabbi Perler said right away, oh, the Mishnah Berurah says you should try to squeeze in, if you can make seven aliyahs from here to the end of the Sedra, try to make seven aliyahs. So they divided every aliyah into two, and they made seven aliyahs to the end. Fine. The thing is that it was Shabbos HaHazinu. So we came back to Mincha at a quarter to two. Every Shabbos they daven in Agud at a quarter to two. So before we said Ashrei, Rabbi Perler got up, and he said, what I told you this morning was wrong. That Mishnah Berurah that says that you should try to squeeze in seven aliyahs, that's only every other Sedra in the Chumash, except for Hazinu. But the Gemara says Hazinu is a din haziblach. You have to have Hapsokas Davka in these places. So what I told you this morning was incorrect. So it was my dilemmas. The people would not have realized that. I don't think anyone knew that Gemara, but the people would have not realized it. I think to my knowledge, he was a very honest person. He was a big Talmud Chacham also. He used to say very good shiurim in the yeshiva. Rabbi Soloveitchik told over the story that there was once a rabbi in America who made a mistake. He announced in shul that next week is going to be Yontif. Yontif is going to be Monday, right after Shabbos. Everybody should remember to make an Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is only when Yontif is on Erev Shabbos. So you want to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. But if Yontif is on Sunday, what's going to help to make an Erev Tavshilin? So the rabbi made a mistake. He wasn't thinking. So the shamus in the shul was a European. A lot of the shamusim years ago in the shuls had learned in European yeshivas. They knew how to learn, but they didn't know how to speak English, so they couldn't function as rabbis in America. So after the davening was over on Shabbos morning, the shamus went over to the rabbi. So he said to him quietly, didn't want to embarrass him. So he said, Rabbi, I don't think it's correct. You only make an Erev Tavshil when Yontif is on Erev Shabbos to enable you to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. But if Yontif is on Sunday, what are you going to make an Erev Tavshil for? So the rabbi realized that he made a major mistake. So instead of saying, yeah, I'm going to correct it, so the rabbi said, the Goyen Shita. Everybody knows the Vilna Goyen always has a different opinion on everything. So he covered up and he said, well, the Goyen has a different Shita from everybody else. So Rav Soloveitchik was saying we should be careful. If a rabbi makes a mistake in public, he should retract in public. Kachi darkam shel tamid hachamim. Rabbi gets up in public and he says dvarim shamayta befnechem tois hein biyodi. The Gemara has. I'll close with this. The Gemara has in the beginning of Gittin. Adin hashalach ya hashalach. I may be getting medina sayam, but if the shliach lahilocha comes from a chutz lorets, has to say b'fan enechtem, b'fan enechtem. How much of the get does he have to be sitting by to know that it was all written l'shma? So he doesn't have to sit from the beginning to the end. The Gemara says if he sits there for 2 minutes and then the sefer takes half an hour to write again, so as long as there a little bit, he can say honestly b'fan enechtem, b'fan enechtem is ginuk. So one of the Amoraim thought, maybe there's room to be machmer. Maybe we should recommend that the shliach lahilocha should sit there the whole time the sefer is writing the get lishma. So the Gemara says, we wouldn't allow it. Kedei shelo lehotzi laz al gitten harishayin. We don't want to be motzi laz on the earlier gitten. For many generations, the practice, that's how the poskim say, practice used to be that they used to write a get on parchment. And then parchment is expensive, so the Jews didn't have so much money for many years. So then they started writing Gittin on paper, on thick paper, but it's paper. And then the Jews became wealthier, and now they can't afford parchment. So some said, let's go back to the old practice and write the Gittin on parchment. So they said, no, it's not proper to introduce a Chumra in Gittin. Kedei shelo lehotzi laz al Gittin harishon. No one should think that those Gittin were written on paper. Apostle, you're not allowed to introduce any chumras if a generation was done one way. So there's a machlokes, the Pischei Tshuva quotes a machlokes achrayim. Is this only in Yonah Yuchsin? If the get was no good, so the children from the second husband will be mamzerim. You don't see laws on Yuchsin and Klal Yisrael, or let's say Gerus. We always did Gerkot and Matbilamos Adaz Bezdin. We would be Megayer young infants. And then we never had the practice when the child reaches 13, so you do a kabbalos on mitzvahs in the presence of a bezin bayom. We never did that. So some rabbonim in our generation said they like the ritvah. The ritvah is pshat and not gemar and ksubis about ger katan. We should be machma like the ritvah to introduce that when the child reaches 13, we should have a bezin and he should be mekabel on mitzvah. They said, what do you mean? This is mamash yuchsin. Kedei shelo lahotzila al gerim harishainim. You shouldn't introduce no chumras over here. Rabbi Kevega talks in a tshuva about shelo lahotzila al doris harishainim, even in areas where it's not an inyan of yuchsin. About there were communities where they only put tachrichim on the men, on the women. They dressed the women in fancy clothing, and that's not right. So Rabbi Kevega writes shelo lahotzila al doris harishainim. Even though they did wrong, we shouldn't change the meaning. We should leave it like that. And others hold that shalala hotzila is only on in yoni yuchsin. Sometimes you have to be motzilas, right? Because they came up with a big chiddush that hardly anybody observes, that a get, v'nasan biyoda, you have to put the get biyad ha'isha. So you have to fold the get up so small that the whole get sits into the hand of the woman. We fold the get into three, then into three. So it's pretty small, but it's still usually sticking out a little bit. So Rabbi Kevega says the part of the get that's sticking out, that's hagbor. Part of the get that's in the hand, that's yad. So Rabbi Kevega thinks that hagbor is no good. Tosfos says the famous hagbor is good. Rabbi Kevega was machmei had a Yerushalmi. He thought that hagbor is no good. So Rabbi Kevega was machmei introduced the chumra. My father told me that when he was a Talmud in the yeshiva, he remembers watching Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik do a get on one occasion. Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik was machmei like Rabbi Kevega. To have them fold their husband, fold it up to get so small, all get fitted into the Yad Ha'isha, not to rely on Hagbor. But that's not the common practice. Bishchei Tshuva says common practice is not so. So Rabbi Kevega said, you have to be Motzi Laz al Gitna Rishayim. They were all puzzle. He says, sometimes you have to. Shadol L'Hotzi Laz means, if it's not Miyakev, they're doing something that's not right, L'Hatchila, but B'Rievet, it's okay. So Rabbanim have to be careful. They want to introduce something new in their communities. But for many years, the practice was that they were mekel on this. So sometimes there'll be an issue of shelo lahotzila al doris harishonim. The Rav told us that after Rav Chaim got married, and his wife was using the mikveh in Volozhin, so Rav Chaim had tainus against the mikveh. There was an issue of zechlin. So he suggested that they should make some tikkunim to improve the mikveh a little bit. So the netziv wouldn't let him. And it was the grandfather of his wife. He wouldn't let him introduce any chumras in the mikveh. Shalala hotzilas al doris harishonim, but all the children before b'nei hanida. So a rabbi has to be careful about that. Even though he learned in the yeshiva, he knows a mishnah brura, he knows whatever the rabbanim taught him in the yeshiva, he had to be careful. Sometimes that's an important consideration. Shalala hotzilas al doris harishonim. These are some of the things to keep in mind when paskening shilas. Thank you very much. We should all be healthy, and we should all have atzlacha.
Thank you so much, Rebbe, for this voluminous amount of information that will be made available on a recording, because there's just so much to process in one shir. But Rabbois, I'd like to thank you all for participating, and please check your emails both for recording of this shir and for our events coming up next week. And again, chizku ve'imtzu, it's wonderful to be able to get together with you for this unconvention. Kol tov. Everyone be well.
Yeshkayach.